Today, we are getting back on the topic of prenatal fitness. So, this is for my mamas in their second trimester, or for anyone who just really wants to have an overall awareness and overview of what you should be focusing on through pregnancy to stay strong and active and comfortable, and what are the biggest bang for your buck exercises that are gonna help make that happen. So let's jump right in.
Hey, I'm your host, Dr. Desiree Cassell. I'm an orthopedic and pelvic floor physical therapist specializing in women's health, aka pelvic floor. I'm a wife, mom of three, foodie, lover of all things movement and nature, and I'm super passionate about educating, empowering, and supporting other women like you to find and maintain balance throughout all aspects of their lives without pain, pressure, or peeing their pants. And this is the Balanced Momtality Podcast, where we will talk about all things pelvic floor, your core, and optimizing your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum recovery, providing you with the knowledge and tools so that you can feel like the strong, playful, and happy mom that you and your family deserve. Now let's get you out of those pads and back to loving movement. Fill up your water, pop in those AirPods, roll out your mat, and let's connect. Before we start today's episode, just a quick disclaimer that anything mentioned in this podcast is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical conditions. If you have any questions or concerns about your healthcare needs, please seek the care of your medical provider. This is also a safe space where we will be talking about very sensitive but important topics, such as issues with peeing and pooping, relationships, and even sex. So if you have littles around, probably a good idea to pop those AirPods in. But otherwise, I hope you enjoy today's episode.
We talked in the first series on the prenatal fitness series for first trimester. We talked just very broadly about movement and mobility and just getting comfortable and resting, prioritizing rest. And then, yeah, when you have some time, we want to get in some mobility and some walking and some little bit of body weight work and core connection. So go check out that episode if you have no idea what I'm talking about, or if you do want to know a little bit more in detail what we went over for that first trimester. So in the second trimester, at this point, hopefully you are feeling more energetic, you are eating better, everything's starting to hopefully sound appealing, and you're not revolted from all things. But that means that we usually get antsy to start doing something. This is when we're like, oh yeah, maybe I've even been a couch potato or been throwing up for months, and I'm finally feeling like a freaking human being again. Praise Lord, hallelujah, what can I do now? And we can sometimes jump in way too quick into things, which might not have felt like too much because it might have been what we normally did. But your body is adjusting and growing and changing so much in this second trimester. We have so much opening in that pelvic girdle. The abdominal wall is really stretching, making room for baby. You're probably starting to pop out a little belly bump. If this is your first and second, you're probably already pretty well, you know, showing. And so there's a lot of risk at this point for too much pressure in that core system, putting you at risk for diastasis and gapping through that space in the belly, umbilical hernias, prolapse, round ligament pain, pubic bone or pubic symphysis pain, all of the things that we are wanting to avoid during pregnancy. And so with that, we need to combat the changes that we have no control over. So when we think about that growing belly, again, that belly is stretching, those abdominals all are stretching. And so we do need to be careful engaging them and turning them on and using them. However, because they're stretching and almost becoming more ineffective because that length tension relationship of the muscle fibers is just not optimal anymore, so the brain's also having a harder time talking to those muscles. So this is why core work is actually crucial during pregnancy. And it's not just something You know, obviously that's what can get scary when we hear of like doing core work during pregnancy, because that's, we're not doing sit-ups and crunches and maybe not even doing planks and some of these other things, leg lifts, these very obvious core exercises that you think of can be super hard on the core system if your core isn't ready for it, and you can cause issues. This is how I caused my umbilical hernia, because after my first, I didn't know better. And I was like, hey, I'm 3 months postpartum. You know, I've been active and walking around and doing what I thought was fine, because hello, I got cleared at 6 weeks, so I must be good. Everything's been feeling fine. But I was still leaking a little bit, still thought that was normal. And I had a little bit of diastasis, and I was trying to be careful and slow with the exercises. But I took a Pilates class right away and tried to just get that core quote unquote strong. So I was doing all the V sits and the leg lifts and all of these different exercises that were putting way too much strain through my abdominal wall. And I ended up going from that diastasis and gapping to an actual hernia, and that was postpartum. So it was so frustrating for me to do what I thought was going to be safe and, you know, helpful, strengthening my core and getting it back to what I needed. And it actually caused so many more problems down the road. So I want you to avoid all of that. And so inside today's episode, we are going to dive in more to what core strengthening looks like during pregnancy, and also the other types of strengthening exercises that you want to start focusing on. Because if you haven't caught on by now, in that second trimester, strength is one of the biggest things you need to start prioritizing. That doesn't mean we stop the breath work. No, 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 my mamas. This just means that we need to start incorporating some resistance training. And I have had so many other episodes on this as well. So you can go back and listen to those if you're like, but I've never done that before. You can start with your body weight. You can start with light bands. This does not have to be super intense heavy lifting. However, if you've been heavy lifting, keep going. You might have to modify some things, and maybe that 300-pound hip thrust bar isn't over your pelvis and you're using some dumbbells more on your thighs, but we're still lifting heavy things. We don't want to lose strength during this time. And in fact, we can actually gain strength. But our goal here isn't to necessarily gain a certain amount of strength or hit a certain PR. The goal during pregnancy is just to stay active, keep showing up, and just keep pushing it to what your body can tolerate. So some days that might mean when you're feeling good and you have the energy that, yeah, you're progressing. You're going from body weight to 10 pounds with a squat to now I'm holding a 25-pound kettlebell with a squat. But then another day you might feel super tired and have some achiness and not do any squats at all and focus on your breath work. And then when you go back to squats, you're at body weight. And we're not going to be upset about that, because this is pregnancy and the whole goal is to stay comfortable. As the body adjusts, we need to listen to what it needs. Does it need rest? Does it need the mobility? The breath work is always what it needs. So that's why we're never getting rid of that. And honestly, you know, mobility, all of it, the strength, it's so important. So that prenatal, that first prenatal episode goes over more of the categories that we want to start focusing on and getting in your rhythms through pregnancy and really just through life, guys. So if you're not even pregnant, start in that prenatal episode, because it's a great way to just start with the foundations that will help get you stronger. Because especially through pregnancy, though, we need to have those foundations in place, because everything's going to shift. And sometimes we're just going back to those foundations. Maybe we've been lifting and exercising and progressing for a couple months, but now we're doing the exact same exercises we were doing back, you know, a couple months ago, because now I'm feeling a little tired. I don't quite have the capacity for it. And so remember to just always listen to your body. But when we're talking about core exercises, remember that deep core system, we need it to all function together and work together. So we need to be aware of our boundaries within that core system so that we know when it's not working together and when it's not working correctly. Because this is what's going to make something a quote unquote bad exercise for you, or an exercise that isn't necessarily going to help you and might actually harm you. And someone else, this exercise can do the exact opposite and help them, right? It all depends on how your body is showing up for that exercise. And so when we think about that core system, remember it's supposed to manage core pressure. So when we see pressure not being managed, this is a sign that it's not working correctly, right? So that's leaking. If we have any leaking, that's a boundary. Something is too hard, or you're doing it at too much of a volume. Maybe you need to take a break, or maybe you just need to recheck in on your core. How are you engaging? Are you engaging too intensely at the top and your bottom belly area is actually pouching out? You're not getting that uniform zippering up that we're really wanting. Is that what's happening? Is it actually a strength issue and you are weak? Is it a breathing pressure management issue? You're holding your breath. We need to make sure. And if you're blowing through those boundaries, we are going to continue to see dysfunction. And so leaking, again, is a boundary. Pain is a boundary. Any of that pressure, an actual sensation of pressure, pressure and heaviness into the pelvic floor. And during this time, this gets tricky because obviously you're growing a baby and that baby is rapidly growing right now. So that weight does feel heavier and the pelvis automatically starts to just get tired by the end of the day and feel heavy. But that's also kind of a sign, right? Like if you start your day feeling okay and then you're out on a walk, you feel okay. But halfway through, you're like, oh, I feel such heaviness in my pelvic floor and my pelvic bowl. That's kind of a sign your body's trying to say, I'm not helping support you anymore. And you're probably going to be achy and a little in pain because with that lack of support, other things are going to tighten up to try and help. And then we get other yanking on the system and stiffening in joints. And this is when we see SI joint problem, pubic symphysis problems, hip pain issues, spinal upper back issues. We really want to make sure that the body is being strengthened so that there's support and that we're staying active and comfortable and moving, but not so much that our system is failing. And so again, pressure down into the pelvic floor, any pressure out into the belly space. So once you do kind of zipper up that core system, or at this stage, we do like to think of it as giving baby a hug to spine. So you're hugging baby to spine. And if you are able to hug baby to spine and you even feel, and you should see your belly button kind of lift. If you see your belly button and baby kind of bulge out and come down, then how you engage is going to cause you a lot of increased pressure and really put you at risk for all of those pressure issues we're trying to avoid. And so again, really knowing and understanding how to zipper and engage and hug baby to spine is crucial, because if you lose that ability and you see belly drop or you see belly pouch out, that's a boundary. And we need to know how that system's showing up. So again, those are kind of just some reminders. Again, that boundary of pressure, leaking, pain, also alignment. So as we move through pregnancy and with core work, this is when we're going to kind of say, let's veer away from the core work that has a lot of movement through the trunk. We really want to provide the stability, remember, to the space. So for stability, that means we're kind of like blocking something together, right? We're making it stable and solid. And so to do that, we have to make those muscles that are stretching at a really rapid rate stay connected and strong, and not only in the abdominal wall, but all the way around. And with that postural change that automatically happens with most women during pregnancy, we get that stretching of belly, obviously. So that tends to pull that pelvis in more of an anterior pelvic tilt where you're kind of, you know, spilling forward. And then our rib cage also starts to flare up and out, because as bellies grow, as baby's growing and taking up space, especially if you have a short torso, that rib cage is going to expand as well. And remember, the diaphragm is crucial piece of the core. And as our diaphragm, as our rib cage stretches to make room for baby, we are also losing our efficiency and our ability to connect and engage to our diaphragm. And then you add on the limited space because of the growing baby, and breathing gets so much harder, which is why we started with all of this in the first trimester. But now, because of those changes, we need to do what we can to counteract some of that. And so keeping that abdominal wall connected and engaged, and keeping your breath work engaged, is crucial so that you can hold an optimal neutral alignment. Because the inability to hold that neutral pelvic and rib cage alignment is also a boundary. As we zipper up and engage that core and hug baby to spine, we might not get our normal neutral that we did pre-baby. Obviously, things are changing, but we still need to find our new middle. Where is that middle place where the pelvis can tuck and extend, and your rib cage can extend both directions? We want to stack them directly on top of each other so that as that belly's stretching, the back usually becomes very painful. You know, we tend to hear, obviously, like so much back pain with pregnancy. And that postural change is a huge reason for that, because now we're getting so much compression and tightness in our low back. So to help combat a lot of that low back pain, we need to keep that deep core, abdominal brace, and pelvic floor engaged so that it opens the low back and it helps stabilize the low back so that you don't get so much pressure there. And this is also going to stabilize the pelvis as it's shifting and changing. But remember, as that belly is growing and shifting, it's also tilting that pelvis forward. And so what that tilt is doing to your glutes is it's making your glutes significantly lengthened and stretched out, similar to your abdominal wall, making them less effective. So our glutes get a lot weaker and harder to connect to during pregnancy. And many times this lasts postpartum for a long time, and we get a lot of compensatory patterns from this. And so working on not only core strength, but glute strength is crucial through pregnancy. It's going to help you keep that nice neutral pelvic alignment. It's going to give your pelvis the stability and control it needs as everything's shifting, so that you can stay on your walks, you can stay working and exercising and moving around and staying comfortable. So we need to keep those glutes engaged and strong. So I got a little ahead of myself talking about the glutes. I did want to get into that, but just a recap of those boundaries. Okay, so we have the pressure into belly, down into pelvic floor, the leaking, the heaviness into the pelvic floor, and that inability to engage that brace and seeing that pressure coming out. And then with that brace engagement, the inability to maintain that connection with the rib cage and pelvis. So as we engage that zipper and we go to do an exercise throughout pregnancy, we want to pick exercises that are going to work on just that stability and no movement through the trunk. So we're kind of blocking everything together, concreting it, nothing should move. And so this is why when even with like a squat movement, again, that's not an exercise where your trunk should really be moving, right? We're not doing a sit-up movement, bending, flexing, doing anything weird, rotating during a squat. We're trying to keep our upper body nice and still and engaged. So this is, again, a great way to strengthen the core, even when you're doing squats, because you're just trying to hold that connection to the pelvis and not let your butt do this little butt wink tuck that it tends to do. And so just trying to block that together and have that awareness through all of these other exercises is crucial. And so again, now as we go into like what other exercises should we do, keeping these boundaries in mind is the whole point. Because if you blow through any of those, that is when we can see issues and when you really need to seek help and come see me and get some coaching and therapy, okay? So in terms of exercises, what does this look like? So with the core stuff specifically, I love to start with a standing core march. And so lying down, this is a great place to start. But if you're starting to feel uncomfortable laying down, you can always do this sitting on a birthing ball, which if you don't have, you should get, because there's more movements in this series that you're going to want to do on the birthing ball. And I promise it's so helpful for practicing birthing positions and getting that pelvic mobility improved so that we can help baby come down through birth in that third trimester. So get yourself a birthing ball and just sit on it, but you can do this standing as well, or lying down with your feet bent, or with your feet on the floor and your knees bent. So, but we're going to talk this through as if you're sitting on a birthing ball and you are engaging and zippering up that core. And then you're just going to alternate marching those legs, or maybe you're just extending and straightening the leg, putting it down. And then you're taking an inhale, exhaling as you extend or lift the other leg, and you're just alternating lifting and moving those legs. Again, you're focusing on stability throughout your pelvis, holding nice and neutral. And so the core march is always a really good one. I also like a similar movement in standing called the farmer's carry or luggage carry, where you're holding weight on the side. I love to do this functionally with groceries. So anytime I'm carrying groceries, if I don't have a ton, I put them all in one hand, and then halfway to the house, I switch hands, if that's possible for you. Because if we do have it on one side of our body, as soon as we put weight on one side of our body, it makes us work out a lot more of our core. And so I do like to do unilateral weighted exercises. But if you do have too many groceries or just a big laundry basket or whatever, and you have weight in both hands, that's totally fine. But just carry that weight in your arms and walk around your house. Walk into your house, walk in place, whatever it is. Maybe you're carrying your car seat. So this is another fun one where you just carry that car seat that you have for baby and you hold it in front of you and you march in place. Maybe you hold it on your side and you march in place, and then you switch and you hold it on the other side and you march for 30 seconds. So a farmer's carry is another great one. And these are also functional. I do love the idea of using the car seat as a weight, because it really does start to prep you for the actual weight that you're going to be carrying around. So it's a great added weight if you're kind of like, well, the body weight is a little easy. So the other ones that are really super helpful that we want to get, again, is obviously core, but the glutes. We really need to target the glutes. And I also really like looking at just that more functional movement patterns that are going to help keep you stronger just throughout your day to day as everything continues to shift and change. So this does look like a lot of squats. Squats are super great during pregnancy. This keeps the pelvis happy. This keeps your hips happy. This gives you the strength for birth, because it is a marathon. We got to make sure we have that squatting strength. And so squats are great. Again, stack the rib cage over your pelvis. Don't let your spine move at all when you're doing any type of squats. We really want to stabilize and zipper with your core. You're going to inhale on the way down and exhale on the way up. And if you're having any issues with that, there's a lot of playing around that we do with breath work during specific movements. So if you are having trouble coordinating a certain breath with a certain exercise, and you're having any of those boundary symptoms, please reach out, because I can help you troubleshoot that, and we'll get you working that breath through your movement smoothly. So making sure the breath is working smooth through that squat, and holding again that car seat is super helpful. Any lightweight, no weight, you decide, whatever feels good with your body. But with strength, I would kind of start with, you know, body weight, just even feeling how the movement feels. Make sure you can get that proper form and breath. But then when you're confident with that, we do want strength, remember. And true strength takes a good 6 weeks of consistent effort, showing up and progressively overloading those muscles. That's just the reality. So if we want to see true strength gains, you want to try and show up for this at least 3 times a week for at least 6 weeks. And we do see such a significant change even just in a couple weeks, because of the nervous system and the connection and the control that the body senses. But true strength takes a little bit. So it's so important to keep progressing, and starting with that body weight is great, but then start adding some weight to it. Start trying to chunk it up into sets. Shoot for 6 to 12 reps and then shoot for 3 to 4 sets of each of those exercises. You can decide based on your time of or energy or capacity for the day. Do you want to do 2 to 3 exercises for 3 to 4 sets? Do you have more capacity to do 4 to 6 exercises for 3 to 5 sets? Whatever you feel up for, just keep progressing and give yourself grace if one day you progressed and the next day you didn't. Remember, we are listening to our body, but also don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to add weight. Don't be afraid to progress and push harder, especially if you can breathe, if you can keep that core brace, if you're not feeling pain. You know, the other rule of thumb that we like to use, especially as we start to get into pretty intense activity during pregnancy, because many of us have been pretty active and we want to stay fairly active, but we don't want to be too active, right? Where we're taking nutrients away from baby. So a general rule of thumb is that you need to be able to talk through your exercises. So if you're like this and you can barely talk, then it's too hard. Okay, so just make sure that you are listening to your body. If you start having cramps, that is another sign that you are pushing it too hard. If you start having any spotting that's not normal for your pregnancy, definitely let your providers know and rest. Take it easy. We are not trying to do any crazy PRs or goals here. Remember, the goal is just to show up consistently for yourself and listen to your body. And so aside from the squats, I think a few of my other favorite strength exercises is a bridge or hip thrust. You already know, I'm about to say it, because this one gets the booty. And remember, the booty and the glutes are crucial for keeping the pelvis happy and staying comfortable throughout pregnancy. And so bridge and hip thrust. Hip thrust is just basically a bridge with your upper shoulder blades propped up on a couch or a bench or an ottoman, whatever it is. And again, with that movement, you shouldn't be getting a crunching movement through your trunk. Your trunk should stay blocked like a board, and you are just lifting and lowering down, squeezing those glutes, exhaling on the way up, inhaling, lowering down. So working through some squats, some bridges and hip thrusts, such a great idea. The other one that really helps to get the glutes is some abduction exercises. So this is where we can sneak it in with standing on one leg. I think that's a really great way just to functionally keep our pelvis happy and stable. But if you're starting to get some pubic symphysis pain, one-legged exercises or split-legged exercises like lunges can really kind of increase your risk of feeling pain and kind of distracting that pelvic pubic bone space more. So if, again, remember, listen to your body. If it doesn't feel good, adjust. And so with squats as well, play around with wide legs, sumo squats. If that doesn't feel good, bring them in. If it feels fine, play around with variation. Variation is always good. We want to make sure the hips can function in different ranges of motion, especially as we get into birth and third trimester. We'll start talking more about changing hip position a lot. But let's just start feeling functional movements and loading them up and strengthening them. So squats, bridges, hip thrusts, standing on one leg. But another great way is putting a band above your thighs and just doing a sidewalk, like a crab walk, I like to call it, where you're just sidestepping and you're really thinking glutes. That band is great because, yeah, I like to just put this on and I'll just like walk through my house sideways with this. Just make sure you're walking both sides, because yeah, you don't want to get yourself uneven there. And so side-lying leg raises is another great way you can get that muscle to activate, that side booty muscle. The glute med muscle is what we're targeting with standing on one leg, using the band and walking sideways, and then side-lying leg raises. They all target a similar side booty muscle. And so those are some of my favorite ones. But there are obviously so, so many more. Obviously, we have upper body too. That upper body starts to flex. So we need to make sure we're keeping postural exercises in our routine. So doing any type of rows with a band or a machine or lat pull downs or banded pull downs or postural exercises. There's so many you can look up on the internet, and definitely reach out, because I do specific one-on-one coaching and find the safe effective exercises that are going to help you reach your goals and get rid of any symptoms you're having. But these are just ideas, guys. I want you to start thinking and just knowing that in general, that second trimester when we're feeling better, now's the time to take advantage and really build that strength. We're not forgetting about the breath work. We're not forgetting about gentle walking and just daily movement. We're not forgetting about the mobility work and working through some of those spinal and back and hip mobility exercises that we talked about in the first trimester episode. But we are really focusing and putting some priority on getting some strength training in for a minimum of 15 to 20 minutes, 3 days a week. So that can, again, 8 to 12 reps, 3 sets, pick anywhere between 2 to 5 exercises and play around with it. You can break this up and kind of do it like a micro workout, like the episode I released a couple weeks ago talking about just breaking up those exercises. That is totally fine. Now, here's the caveat with breaking it up. If you're gonna break it up into micro workouts, which I think is great, especially if you don't have the time, capacity, or energy to do a full 15, 20 minute thing right now, you can do it in a 5 minute chunk. But what I want you to do is make sure you're picking one exercise and you're doing all 3 to 5 sets of that exercise. And then, yes, you can do that with 2 or 3 exercises if you want. So that first 5 minute chunk, you can pick 2 to 3 exercises and do all 3 sets of those 3 exercises or 2 or whatever. But just don't say, okay, today I'm going to do some squats and some bridges and, you know, some standing march, but maybe I'll do 1 set of each of them in the morning and 1 set of each of them in the afternoon, and then I'll finish and get my 3rd set in the evening with all of them. That's not going to do much for you, I'm sorry, because what we're trying to get the strength, is we have to fatigue the muscle. We have to get the muscle tired enough that it breaks down and rebuilds. And the way to do that is to overload it back to back with those sets. Now you can take 30 seconds to a minute break between those sets, and that's fine, but you don't want to take hours, okay? So let's just pick a couple exercises, do all 3 sets of them, and then if you want to do another 5 minute chunk later, pick a couple other exercises and do all the sets of those. And you might even just break it up where one of that 5 minutes is some breath work, and then later in the afternoon for 5 minutes, you're doing some strength exercises, 2 or 3 of them, and then maybe in the evening, you do another 5 minute micro fitness workout with doing the mobility yoga flow that we talked about last episode. Okay, so there's so many options here, but let's just start making strength a priority. And if you're more concerned about how to do that during pregnancy safely, please reach out, because this is something I see issues with, even with women who do. I mean, unfortunately, I think I see more issues with women who lift prior to pregnancy because they feel like they're safe because that's what they've been doing. So obviously, my body is going to be fine because it's the exercise I've been doing. But because of that, they go too intense and they blow through those boundaries. And we see the diastasis show up pretty quickly, women leaking on doing jump ropes and just things that we don't really want to do right now during pregnancy. So at whatever level you're at, make sure you get some guidance so that we make sure that we are not only keeping you comfortable and active throughout pregnancy, but we're also helping keep all those pesky aches and pains at bay. I hope that you found this episode helpful, mamas. I know I went on a little long, but thank you so much for being in my corner and a part of my tribe. I can't thank you guys enough, especially having gone through all of this last couple weeks. My community and my girls, my women in my tribe, my family, my husband, I mean, everyone's been so amazing, and it's been so just such a humbling and blessed experience to have so many of you reach out to me on social and send me emails and just from all over the world. I love it. I love this podcast. You know, so many times it can feel like a one-way street. Here I am just talking at a mic, staring at my kitchen, but then I get people from South Africa and India and Canada and Mexico just reaching out to me and telling me how I've helped them. And I can't tell you how much that helps me. So especially at a time right now, I'm kind of kind of struggling, and you guys are helping keeping me going. So thank you so much. And just please, please keep reaching out, because it does mean a lot. And please leave a review if you haven't already and you have found this show to be helpful, because I think all of this should just be known to the whole world. Every woman needs to know. Thank you so much, my friends, for joining me. And I will see you here next week on the podcast. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day. I know you've got so many other important things going on, but I hope it was helpful and you leave here with some tools to help you in your healing journey. And I just want to ask you, if you have found this helpful, to please leave a review on iTunes. Scroll down to the bottom of my podcast page and leave that 5-star review so it can help other women see this information. And also, if you want to be a part of my community of amazing women trying to balance all the things, great tips and insight and sharing stories and just motivating each other along the way, feel free to join my Facebook group, The Balanced Momtality Wellness and Support. I hope to see you here next time on the Balanced Momtality Podcast.